Really, we would have been fine if you sang. It would have been great. So, so as you guys know, we've been in a series the past several weeks. We're kind of winding it down. But we've been in a series the past several weeks called Thrive. And so we've been talking each week about what it means to flourish as human beings. Like there are five principal dimensions of our lives that research shows if we're thriving in those areas, if we're flourishing in those areas, then we're flourishing as humans. And you'll remember their faith, relationships, vocation, finances, and well-being. We've talked about faith, relationships. Last week, we talked about vocation. We talked about our purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God and point others to Him. And we talked about that and what that looks like in our careers or in our workplace. But today, we're going to talk about finances. And as soon as I say that, I know, as soon as I said, today, we're going to talk about finances, there were some of you who were like, drat, if I had only known that that's what we were going to talk about today, I would have skipped today. I forgot that we were talking about finances today. And I totally get that. But let me just share a couple things with you because this is important for us to kind of to understand or know as we get into this topic. Did you know that there are roughly 2,350 verses in the Bible about money? Did you know that? That's almost twice as many as all the verses in the Bible about faith and prayer combined. I don't know if you realize that, but clearly, this is a really important topic. It's one that we've got to spend some time on, and clearly, human flourishing, apart from flourishing in the area of finances in our lives, is impossible. Like, this is an important and critical issue for many of us. But if we're going to be honest, like we don't enjoy talking about this. Okay? And we sure don't enjoy having anyone else talking to us about it, right? It's one of those taboo topics. We'll get defensive. We'll get angry. If anyone tries to talk to us about money or tries to tell us how we ought to be using or spending our money, it's just one of those taboo topics. But if finances are so important in Scripture, right? If they're mentioned so often in Scripture, what kind of a pastor would I be if we never talked about it in church? Clearly, it's important to God. And for you and I, what we're trying to do, I'm not trying to decide what's important for you and I to talk about. I'm trying to let the Scriptures tell us what's important for us to talk about. And if the Scriptures are saying this is an important topic that a lot of people struggle with, then I have to be able to address it. We've got to be able to talk about it, right? But I need, before we start, I've got to confess something to you. There's probably not a single topic in the world that I might speak on, that I am less qualified to speak on than this one, okay? I just want to say that right up front. In fact, all of the things that we're going to talk about this morning are things that I have failed at, abjectly failed, like totally failed in my life. I am a dumpster fire when it comes to this topic, okay? And so you need to know that right up front. I'm not going to speak to you this morning as an expert. I'm not going to try to give you any of my wisdom because, frankly, anyone who knows me well knows I have none, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to go to Scripture, right? And we're going to hear what Jesus, who actually is an expert on a lot of things, right? What Jesus has to say about this topic, and we're going to go there. But I personally struggle with all the things that we're going to be talking about today. And I just want to say that to you right up front. So, but there's going to be times this morning, I'm also going to be real with you. There's going to be some times this morning where as we're talking, you might feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck a little bit, okay? And you might even feel that defensiveness kind of rising up. You might even feel like, Brad, what are you doing talking to me about this? You know what I mean? You might feel that. The reason I'm saying that is because as I was preparing for this message, that's what I felt, okay? And this is a topic, right, that gets us charged up. So before we even start, I just want to ask, why? Like, why is it that when people start to try to talk to us about money, why is it that sometimes we get defensive? Why is that? Of all the topics, right? If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to lovingly suggest, in my life at least, one of the reasons is because, like, as soon as people start talking about it, I feel a little convicted, you know? This is an area in my life where Satan sometimes really does have a hold on me. And I get it wrong a lot of the time. And so if you would, I just I'd just like to allow you, I'd just like to ask you this morning, if you would, to just open up your heart to what the Holy Spirit might say to you this morning, okay? And if it helps, pretend like I'm not the one saying it, okay, right? But just listen, if you would, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to speak to you, okay? And whatever, you know, whenever those feelings kind of start to come up, let's ask, okay, God, are you trying to tell me something here? Is this my flesh rising up against you? And let's allow the Lord to speak to us today. You know, we really should do that every week. That kind of ought to be the way we operate. But especially when we're talking about topics that can sometimes step on our toes, right? We maybe need a little extra help. And this one is one of those topics, okay? Or at least it was when I was preparing the message, so fair warning, okay? All right, to all of you out there, all right? So how can we experience, though? All of this has been about, Jesus said, I came, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is that they might have what? A rich and satisfying life, right? How can we experience a rich and satisfying life in the area of our finances? How can we do that? How can we experience the rich, satisfying life Christ came to give us in this area? Well, we're going to look specifically at the words of Jesus, okay, in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go straight to his words, and we're going to listen to what he had to say about this critical issue. So Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's where Matthew records probably a compilation of a lot of Jesus' teaching into one kind of sermon. And so this is a sermon that was delivered by Jesus, and there's a lot of really, he hits all of the high marks in this sermon, all the things that we really need to hear. And so he's kind of through the intro part of the sermon in chapter 6, and now he's ready to get down into the nitty-gritty with us, right? And so he starts in verse 19. And there's going to be several truths that we're going to pull out of this that are truths that the scriptures are telling us that we ought to apply these truths to the way we operate in our finances, okay? The first truth that we're going to see in this passage of scripture is that we're supposed to direct our desires. Direct our desires. Look at verses 19 through 21. Rayleigh did a fantastic job reading it for you earlier this morning. I'm not going to do as well, but let's read it together, okay? 6:19 says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And here it is. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. I don't know. My family, we like to go to the beach sometimes for family vacations, Amy's side of the family. We'll go hang out at Port Aransas. That's kind of our place, you know. You know the only bad thing about the beach, really, is sand. Okay, can I be honest with you? Like, I would love the beach if it wasn't for sand. You know, you end up at the beach with sand in places you didn't know sand could be, okay? And sometimes when you're, you know, sometimes I remember stories about Amy when she was a little kid. She would play in the sand and then she would have to, like every 20 or 30 seconds, she would have to go and wash her hands off in the water because she couldn't stand that feeling of sand on her fingers. If anybody ever have that kind of experience where you're just constantly like, I hate this sand, you know what I mean? But the problem is that if you're not careful, like if you're trying to get rid of the sand on you all the time, you'll never be able to enjoy the beach, right? Because all of your energy, all of your anxiety is poured into, I've got to get my hands clean, right? And so if you're focused on the dirt on your hands, you'll never appreciate the beach, right? And this same kind of thing happens to us in our lives. We're constantly worrying, constantly pouring energy and effort and anxiety into this one area of our lives, into our finances. And so we're always trying to work on it. We're always trying to work so hard, right, to earn more or to do better, right? And so it becomes a real focus in our lives. But the problem is that things in this world, Jesus is saying, things in this world fall apart. decay and rust and thievery, they're all part of the world that we live in. So look, staring at our 401k every day, I don't need to tell you, because some of us have been doing that and we're like, ah, you know what I mean? Staring at your 401k every day, obsessing over a potential promotion, worrying about whether or not we have enough money to cover a medical bill, like all of that stuff is energy that we're pouring into this area of our life. And how can we live a flourishing life if we're always obsessing or worrying about our finances? And Jesus is saying, maybe the problem is that your focus is in the wrong place. I mean, these are all realities of our lives. They're things that we all do, these kinds of things. But Jesus is saying here that the fact that we do them, the fact that we worry about those things, that we obsess over those things, might indicate something really more dangerous. He clearly says here, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Can I be honest with you? I really thought this worked the other way around, right? I thought that when I directed the desires of my heart someplace, that my treasure would be there, right? That my treasure would follow my desires. That makes sense, logically, for us as human beings. The things that we really care about, that's kind of where our resources tend to flow. Jesus says the exact opposite. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. That's where the desires of your heart will be. And so what we see in this passage is our desires follow our investment. Our desires follow our investment. We can tell where our heart is. It's really easy for you and I to tell where our heart is today. All we have to do is just look at our bank account statement. That's all we have to do. Wherever our treasure is going, that's where our hearts are. And some of us, as soon as I said that, were like, ooh, you know, That means my heart is at Starbucks. You know what I mean? That means that my heart is in my mortgage, right? Like some of us, right? That all of us, though, need to hear this. The desires of our heart will follow where our treasure is invested. So some of us wonder. We wonder why we feel so far from God. Why do we have so much trouble desiring the things of God? And here's what Jesus says. Try this. Try investing your resources in kingdom things. Where your treasure goes, that's where your heart is going to go. Use the resources God has given you to help somebody else. Find a kingdom project to support. What if you and I got up every day and asked this question of the Lord, God, how would you like for me to spend your money today? What if we did that? What if that's how we operated? I've got a feeling that God's answer might be, if we asked him that question, God's answer might not be credit card interest. I'd like for you to spend my money that I've given you on credit card interest. He probably wouldn't say that, would he? A new gaming system. I'd like for you to spend the money I've given you on a new gaming system. A new phone, nicer car, bigger house. Maybe those aren't the things that God would be cared about, that God would care about, that he would want for us to invest in. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. What's wrong is sometimes our approach. If this is really God's money that he's given to us, shouldn't he have a say in how it's being spent? How might God answer that question in your life if you ask that of the Lord? How would you like, God, how would you like for me to spend your money today? How do you think God would answer that question? So we've got to direct our desires, but we also have to drive out disease. This is really interesting. I used to be really confused about this next passage, because it sounds so different. But look at verse 22. All of a sudden, Jesus is talking about money, and then all of a sudden he says this, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. I used to be really confused about that passage because it feels different. It's like Jesus changed the subject right here. But listen, I don't need to tell you that the world we live in is really dark. I mean, we know it. Some of us even post about it all the time on social media, how dark our world is, right? We know the world is dark. And so, but Jesus points out that when disease affects one small part of our body, right, our eye, when our eye is diseased, it can plunge our whole being into deep darkness. And so there are parts of our body that even though they're really small, they're really important. We have to make sure that they're healthy because if something goes wrong with them, there's a huge effect on the rest of our body. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that. He's bringing this up because he wants to illustrate the point that he's made about money, about treasure. This one part of our life, when it is diseased, it causes all kinds of darkness. It causes all kinds of darkness. And if we're honest, y'all, we know this is true. We do, because we can just look around us and see the evidence of a world driven by greed, driven by entitlement, driven by materialism. We see it all around us all the time. The problem is, often we're seeing things wrong. Our vision is distorted. Our eyes are diseased. And so we can fall into the same trap that the rest of our world has fallen on. Let me tell you a story. One time for Valentine's Day, and I want to apologize to Sadie for telling this story before I tell it, but it's a true story, and I feel like it illustrates it very well. But one time for Valentine's Day, I bought Sadie a teddy bear, okay? It was the cutest little teddy bear. He was purple, and he was holding a little bag that said, like, I love you or something on the front of it. And in that bag, there were like 5 or 6 Hershey's Kisses, okay? She loved that bear. She was so excited to get that bear. It was a great Valentine's moment for her, okay? So the next day, I was walking by Sadie's room. I saw that bear sitting in there. You guys, I don't have to tell you guys that I like chocolate. I talk about it all the time, don't I, right? I love chocolate. I said, Sadie, can I have one of those Hershey's Kisses that your bear has? And she looked at me and she said, no. She said, those are mine. You can't have them. And I immediately had 2 thoughts. The first thought was, I bought you those Hershey's Kisses. My money purchased the Hershey's Kisses. That was one thought. You know what the second thought was? Right now, if I wanted to, I could go down to Walmart and I could buy you sack wheelbarrows full of Hershey's Kisses. I could bring you more Hershey's Kisses than you could eat in 10 years. Right now, if I wanted to, it wouldn't take me very long. You just drive down there and buy a ton of Hershey's Kisses and just pour them out all over your room. If I wanted to do that, I could. And as soon as those thoughts entered my mind, the Lord was like, yeah. Because this is what we all do. The Lord gives us these amazing gifts, these amazing resources. They're gifts from Him. But if we're not careful, you know what we do? We're like, this is mine. And the Lord wants us to remember, Jesus wants us to remember, no, it's not. Remember, I gave it to you to steward, right? To steward for my purposes. It's mine. And if I wanted to, this little bit that you're grabbing onto, that you're, you know, you got a death grip on this little bit. If I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I could pour out more than you could ever take. But that's the way our world works. That's the way we work. We all naturally tend to do that. When we start to realize, though, that everything we have belongs to God, that all of it is meant to be directed toward His purposes, it changes everything. Suddenly, the light of mercy, the light of generosity floods into the darkness of greed and materialism that happens naturally. If we're not careful, it just happens in our hearts. That's why we give. To remind ourselves of where all this that we have comes from. I'm going to tell you, when I have to drag myself out of bed every morning to go work out. I try to work out at 6 o'clock in the morning, okay? Notice I said try, okay? I've been very not good at that recently, right? But I try to do that, work out at 6 o'clock in the morning. But I don't like to wake up at like 5:15, okay? I don't. But I have to drag myself out of bed to do it. But you know what's amazing? When I do, when I drag myself out of bed and I go and work out, it affects everything. I'm more disciplined with my time the rest of the day. I have more energy and more creativity the rest of the day. I mean, I feel better. I usually eat more healthier. Just I'm not hungry. I don't crave bad stuff when I'm working out on a regular basis. I mean, all of it, this little thing, all of these other areas in my life are affected by this one little thing, this one act, this one thing that I do, which is work out. Right? That's the same thing that happens in our lives with our finances. When we practice generosity, when we invest our treasure in the things of God, in the kingdom, the act of doing that over and over again affects all these other areas of our lives. And frankly, friends, we need that help. What can you do? What can we do this morning to be more healthy in this area of our lives? What's a practice that we can have that will help us to get healthy? That act of giving, that act of generosity, it actually helps us stay healthy. When we practice giving, we have a much more healthy perspective on our stuff, on our money. That's why God wants us to do it. He doesn't want us to do it because he needs your money to do the things he wants to do. Hello? This is the Lord who spoke the cosmos into being. He does not need your money. You need to practice giving. I need to practice giving. So, got to direct our desires, drive out disease, and then don't be divided. Don't be divided. Verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Imagine this. Imagine somebody telling you, you know what? I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. But I also like to root for the Philadelphia Eagles every now and then. No, okay? No. You cannot be a... If you can root for the Philadelphia Eagles at any time, under any circumstances, then you are not a real Dallas Cowboys fan. Let me just say that right up front. You can't do... It's like, I'm a Texas Tech fan. I love Texas Tech. But I also root for the Longhorns. No, you don't, okay? No, you don't. If you root for the Longhorns at all, then you don't love Texas Tech the way you should, okay? I'm just going to throw that out there to you. They are the enemy, right? You cannot serve two masters, friends, okay? And Jesus is getting at the heart of this issue, but it's much deeper than that. What Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about being a slave, right? He's talking about slaves were purchased by their master. Their master owned them. Master had total control over their bodies. Their master directed them absolutely. And Jesus' audience would have laughed out loud at the thought of a slave having two masters. That was impossible, right? A slave was purchased by one master. You didn't have two masters. That whole thought process was just bananas. So they would have thought that was hilarious. So either God, and Jesus is saying, look, either God owns you or he doesn't. He's saying either God has purchased you and you belong completely to him or he hasn't. There is no way to halfway belong to God. That's what Jesus is saying. And some of us need to hear that. We either do or we don't. And many of us are trying to live what we imagine is a double life right now. We've surrendered some aspects of our lives to God, right? We go to church, we try to do right things, you know, try not to do wrong things, but we want to decide how we're going to spend our money. We don't want to surrender that to God. And Jesus is saying, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You can't partially follow God. And so the question before all of us this morning is, have we placed our finances at the feet of Jesus? And can I just tell you, sometimes that is the last thing that comes out of our hands. We will give God all kinds of other stuff, but it's so hard for us to give him control over that aspect of our lives. Because, right, because at the heart of it is this mistrust. Do we really trust God to care for us, to provide for us? Do we really trust him? Is he really the source of our provision? And it's so hard for us to do that because it means we have to place our future in his hands. But friends, I believe that's the question. If we're going to flourish, if we're going to flourish the way Jesus describes flourishing, I'm not talking about flourishing as, you know, getting rich. There are plenty of rich people who are torn up in their finances. They are not flourishing. They are worried all the time. They're anxious all the time. They're focused on obsessing over it all the time. Plenty of people who have a lot of money who are not flourishing in this area of their life. That's not what I'm talking about. Flourishing the way Jesus describes it, where we don't worry about our finances. It starts with trusting God with them. It starts with yielding it all to Him. We've got to decide to defer. Jesus goes on in verse 25, and this is what He says. He says, "That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink, enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? Your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest, store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He'll certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" I just want to say this morning, listen, God cares deeply for you. You're precious to Him. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that your needs, you and your needs, they actually matter to the Lord God Almighty. He cares deeply about you and about your situation. You're valuable, you're precious to Him. He's going to care for you. But so many of us are in this cycle though, right? We're constantly working, constantly worrying, trying to make sure we can cover our bills, pay our mortgage, put food on the table, put clothes on our backs, right? Jesus' purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. He wants to free you from that cycle of anxiety. And so the key to finding freedom is to place our trust in Jesus. Now listen, I did not say He wants to free you from that cycle of anxiety by making you embarrassingly rich. I did not say that. Sometimes the answer to free us from the cycle of anxiety is not to give us more. Sometimes the answer is that we need less. And that's what the Lord is trying to remind us of here. Until we trust Him with it, until we place it all at His feet, until we defer it to Him, we're meant to have total dependence on Jesus. And so the key is to place our trust in Him. And here's the thing, you're going to be directed by God to do things with your resources, with the resources that He's given you. You're going to be directed to do some things that you don't think you're capable of doing. Because that's how God works. That's how He encourages us to trust Him. His will for your finances, listen, this is where it got hard for me. Listen, His will for your finances will require you to sacrifice. There will be things that seem really important to you right now that He will ask you to set aside in order to do the things He's calling you to do. Freedom only comes through sacrifice. And that's just the truth. If we're going to experience His freedom, there will be things that we have to lay down. There will be things that we have to give up. That's the hard part for me because I don't want to give up anything. I don't want to give up anything. What I want is more. And what I begin to understand is that the more doesn't ease my anxiety. The more adds to my anxiety. So if I trust God, that means I've got to let Him tell me what I need to set aside. And finally, friends, we've got to be divinely driven. Verse 31 says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Did you hear that? Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Somebody needs to hear me say this this morning. I need to hear me say this this morning. I do not provide for my family. I don't. I mean, I think I do. I imagine myself as a person who does, right? The money that I make, the resources that I bring in provides for my family. But you know what the Lord says? No, you don't. Brad, in an instant, you could be taken out of the equation. In an instant, your life could change. You don't provide for your family, Brad. I provide for your family. That's what the Lord God says. And all of us in this room, you don't provide for your family. You are not the engine that creates whatever it is that you believe that your family needs. The Lord God provides for your family. And what He's saying is, seek Me. I am the source. I am the provision. Quit looking in all these other places to get your security, right? Seek after Me. I promise if you do that, if you make your purpose, if you make your focus Me, I will provide. I will do what needs to be done. And some of us need to be reminded of that this morning because we're struggling in that area. And I just want to say, like we've got to seek Him above all else. And if you and I were really honest this morning, and I asked you, what is it that you are seeking? Where is your energy focused this morning? If I asked you, what is it that you're seeking? You might say, financial security. You might say a certain standard of living. You might say the respect of others. If I could just live in a certain house in a certain neighborhood, you know, that's kind of where I'm going. If I could just have these certain things, right, if I could just make a certain amount of money, right, a threshold, right, then. And if we're honest, that's what we're seeking. And the Lord God's reminding us, no, seek Me. How would your life be different if God's purposes were your sole focus? If all of your effort and your energy was directed toward advancing His kingdom, if that was the purpose of your life, how would your life look different right now? Y'all, that's the question that's in front of all of us. You're not sure? When I ask that question, are you not sure how your life would look different? I tell you what, let's do. Let's ask Him. Let's just ask God. Right now. Close your eyes. Ask God this. God, how would my life be different if Your purposes were my sole focus? If all my effort and energy was directed toward advancing Your kingdom? Ask God that. Some of us, He's answering us right now, like you already. You're hearing things from the Lord. You would spend more of your time, more of your energy, more of your resources in this way. You would spend less of your time and energy and resources in this way. Some of you, it's already coming to your mind. Ask this question. This is a hard one. Are there material things that I need to sacrifice to You in order to place my faith fully in You? Ask Him. One more time. Are there material things that I need to sacrifice to You in order to fully place my trust in You? Right now, He's answering us. Some of you, things jumped immediately to your mind. And finally, God, I bring my finances and my possessions to you. They belong to you. Use them as you see fit. So I'm going to have our worship team come back up here. We're going to spend some more time worshiping, but please remember, this time we're going to sing and we're going to worship, but really what this time is about is it's about allowing the Lord to speak to us. And some of us this morning, there are things that we just need to write down. There are things we need to write down that the Lord spoke to you just a second ago so that you can remember. Some of us, there's so much anxiety. There is so much heartache around this issue in your life, this area of your life. You need someone to pray for you. Frankly, you need someone to just lay hands on you and pray for you. And our prayer team is going to be right here at this door. It says, how can I pray for you? Right over there. If you will head over there, our folks will grab you. They'll take you out into the hall where it's a little more private, into one of those classrooms, and they'll pray for you. But don't leave this morning without allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And look, for all my young friends that are here this morning, all my friends who are teenagers or who are college or who are, you know what I mean, or young, starting out in your career, can I just tell you, like, this is the lesson I wish I would have learned when I was your age. That everything I have belongs to God Almighty. And my whole life, every dollar, every possession, everything I have is supposed to be spent in pursuing His glory. I wish I would have learned that. And I wish my decisions about my life and my career and my finances would have been directed by that. Learn this lesson now. I got so much wasted time on the other side of this. But let's spend these moments bringing ourselves into alignment with the Lord God. Let Him convict us. Let Him speak to us. Let Him challenge us so that when we leave changed. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for us. Father, we come before you humbly this morning, admitting, God, that we are broken people. We need you. God, we fail in so many areas of our lives. And in this area, we fail so often. And the challenging thing is that for many of us, it does not look like to ourselves or to anybody else that we're failing in the area of our finances. It looks like we're doing great. But you know, Lord, you know that's not the truth. You know that the focus of our lives in this area has not been on you and on your kingdom. And we need your Spirit to speak to us. We want to flourish. We want to thrive. We want to flourish in this area too, God. But we need your strength. We need your power. We need your courage to do it. Move in us. Speak to us, God. Change us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.